Good morning, and thank you for joining me with our daily manna here at Lighthouse Church. I'm Pastor Ron, and I get blessed to be able to share with you on Monday mornings to give you a little time to chew on God's Word and hopefully gain a little spiritual nourishment. Hey, but before we start, which we're going to continue on in chapter 25, and we're going to take one verse today, and you'll see why, but we need to pray. So let's pray. Father, You're good, and You're patient toward us, not wanting any to perish, but for all to come unto salvation, to come to a place of repentance, recognizing, Lord, that we have offended You. But yet, You have spoken Your word of love. You have spoken Your Son to us. That's Your language. Your language is Jesus is what we need. And so, Lord, help us to hear Your language today. Help us to hear Your voice, Your word in the midst of Your word. Speak to our very issues in our hearts, Lord, and minister to them for Your glory. Thank You, Jesus. In Your name I pray. Amen. You know, this book of Proverbs is so rich because it takes practical applications and helps us to be able to comprehend spiritual truths. And that's what chapter 25, of course, all of them are. But chapter 25 in particular gives us examples of what a life filled with self-control, the fruit of the spirit of self-control, compared to those that aren't. And so it gives us an opportunity to examine. And so that's what we're going to do today. And my hope is that its purpose is to win you to the heart similar to the Lord's. And so we left off in verse, actually 23. We shared that verse last time. And so we're just going to pick up and restate that verse this time. It says, "The north wind brings forth rain, and a backbiting tongue angry looks." And so we know that it's the north wind that brings a torrent, if you will, a storm. And so just like a backbiting tongue brings a torrent, but it's the torrent is a corrective look. Now, most of us can attribute that similar to the look that we might have gotten from our mother or our father, you know, when we've blown it. Maybe it was a teacher or a football coach or some type of a coach. But, you know, when we've said something that's, I refer to as back talk or sass talk or something honestly disrespectful, and we get that look. I don't know what your look was like, but you know what I'm talking about. So you get that corrective angry look. It just says, do you understand what you just said? So this verse actually helps to give us an insight and understanding of how to look at verse 24. So let's read verse 24. It says, "It is better to live in the corner of a housetop than in a house shared with a quarrelsome wife." Now, how are those two connected? Well, what this is, remember, it's the chapter of self-control or the lack thereof of self-control. And so it's saying, man, if I'm living on the corner of a housetop, it's like, man, I want to be separated from that woman because that woman, all she does is she constantly wants to fight with me, you know, and so it'd be better for me to live on the corner of my house than to live in the house with her, you know, that it's so bad. Excuse me. So the point, though, is wait a minute. If we connect those two verses together, we have to understand that there's a responsibility that we as men, and I'm including myself, have with the use of our words. And so it makes a difference the type of words that we use that have an impact on our wife's heart. And so if we're using words that are damaging, derogatory, belittling, condescending towards our wife, and we're not acknowledging the wrong of that, and we're definitely not speaking truth into our life and love into our life, then what we're doing is we're damaging her heart, and little by little, we're forming this thing called bitterness. Well, bitterness turns into a quarrelsome wife, a wife that's all she knows, and so that's what she's gonna give you back what she's received. Whoa, so wait a minute, this takes on a whole different perspective. And so how do I change this? Wait a minute. The question that I typically ask a couple if they came in for counseling is tell me about when you fell in love. Tell me about when you knew that this was the person you wanted to marry. And all of a sudden those memories come back and it's like, oh, how did you know you loved her? How did you know you loved him? And they can tell me, but they've lost that first love. Because there's divisiveness going on, and it comes from words that are used that are disrespectful and dishonoring and harming. And so how do I fix that? It's like, oh man, I realize that that's what we've done, and someone starts it, but yet someone continues it, and it goes on. And so is there a way to be able to fix this? Because we as men have typically caused the problem, and so... Is it left up to a man to fix the problem? And I'm going to say yes, but it has to be a particular man. It has to be the God-man named Jesus. You see, only God can forgive sins. Only God can change the heart of a person. Only God can restore that which has been lost. And he did that through the blood that was shed on the cross so that we could be forgiven. See, men, that's where we start. We start with a place of acknowledging the wrong with our Savior. Oh, dear God, save me. I don't want to live on the corner of my house. I want to live in the house with my wife. But I can't because she's bitter and she just fights with me. And it's like, oh, I have to recognize that I most likely am the very cause of that. And so, Lord, please forgive me for that and help me to go to her to win her heart. Not to correct her heart. No. To win her heart. And so when I go to win my bride's heart, how do I do that? Well, Ephesians chapter 5 actually gives us a great insight in how Jesus wins the heart of his bride. It says this in Ephesians 5:25. It says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Oh, it's not about me, it's about her. That he might sanctify her, that means separate her, and having cleansed her by the washing of the water with the word. Oh, the washing of the water. What that means is that's called the rhema. That word is carefully chosen words that have a purpose of benefit for my wife. Not detriment, benefit. And then it goes on, it says, so that he, that it's our responsibility, might present the church to others so that they might see to himself in the church to himself in splendor without spot or wrinkle or any such thing that she might be holy and without blemish. You know, I can tell men who are careful about providing good rhema for their wives because their wives, man, they're not women that are controversial or bitter or angry or sharp with their tones or corrective in nature. They're gentle and they're gracious women and they walk differently. You see, because the words matter that we use. And so what kind of words do we need to use? Well, if we're not familiar with the Word of God, we need to get familiar with the Word of God because it's the Word that became flesh that dwelt among us. Oh, it's Jesus. Yes, when I receive Christ, when he comes into my life, I'm receiving the Word that became flesh and dwelt among us, and it's his Spirit in me. So it's like I want his Word in me so that what comes out of me, the rhema then, the carefully chosen words, are for her benefit, just like it was for Christ's bride's benefit, so that she would be one of splendor. So it first starts, guys, with us and a spirit of humility, of seeking God's forgiveness and recognizing if my wife is embittered, if she's harsh, I can win her back. Getting right with Jesus and then going to her and acknowledging I have been wrong in the way that I've been speaking to you and I need to ask if you would forgive me. And you listen. And maybe she's going to give you a little what for. But you're there not to defend yourself. You're there to listen. Because when a bride's hurt, she's got to share But when she sees that that love is true and it's greater than the hurt, she's going to respond to that. And she's going to respond by loving. And so, yeah, it's going to take some time. It's going to take a little bit of work, but it can happen quickly. And God restores because He does it through love. You see, because it's love that covers the multitude of our sin, even our own. So God bless you, and thank you for joining me today.